Kennedy on behalf of Appellant Ledcor. We're here today to ask the court to reverse two partial summary judgment claims against Starline and an award of attorney's fees to Ledcor.
Do you wish to reserve any time?
I would like to reserve 2 minutes, please. Thank you. I also have a quick question for the court. There were three pending motions involved in this appeal and its partner appeal also scheduled for today. Does the court wish to hear anything on the motions?
No.
All right. So, starting with what is basically the central crux of two of the issues in the case here is the amount of the settlement between Starline and the Condominium Owners Association.
I have a preliminary question.
Certainly.
The law of the case doctrine generally precludes relitigation of an issue that has been decided in a previous appeal. This is at least the second time in this litigation that there has been appeal involving these two parties. And so my question is, why are we here at all, given the law of the case doctrine?
We're here primarily, Your Honor, because the amount of damages awarded to Ledcor for its defense costs and fees was inconsistent with the facts available, as well as the settlement with Starline and the Condominium Association was inconsistent with the facts regarding the damages caused by Starline's windows.
Well, I understand that that is the subject of your appeal, but my question is focused on the fact that this court previously decided that claims that had been asserted were not timely brought under the statute of repose. And so my question is, why are we here a second time regarding essentially the same claims?
Certainly, Your Honor, and I guess I'll jump to the UCC inquiry on this case.
You're misunderstanding my question, but I don't want to gobble up your time. Think about it, and then perhaps you can tell me later.
I'll do what I can, Your Honor. Going back, the $165,000 settlement between the Condominium Owners Association and Starline was insufficient to cover the damages actually caused by the Starline windows. Now, the trial court erred when it ignored issues of fact that were available to it during those initial motions, and should be reversed for that reason. Starline even admits in its own briefing that the estimate for the damages caused by the windows replacement alone was around $385,000. So the $165,000 that was settled was not appropriate for the court to rule as a matter of law that that was the value of the damage caused by the Starline windows. Stemming from that incorrect assumption, the court then compounds that error by using the proportionate share methodology to determine Ledcor's defense costs and fees. Had the number been a larger number, obviously the proportionate share to Ledcor would have also been a larger number. There were significant questions of fact with regards to both of those issues at the trial court, and the trial court was wrong to rule as it did. With regards to whether or not the settlement with Starline between the Condominium Association and Starline was all of the claims, Starline and the COA did not fully execute that settlement until 11 days prior to the global settlement reached with the Condominium Owners Association and Ledcor. And in fact, it was a confidential settlement based upon its terms. Starline has argued in response that Ledcor did know about the settlement because on July 2nd of 2009, Starline issued a notice of settlement. The notice of settlement did not go into any specifics, did not go into any discussion as to the amount of the settlement or which claims were settled between the COA and Starline. So it wasn't until, and in fact, arguably those determinations had not even been made between Starline and the COA because they didn't fully execute the agreement until July 17th.
Did your client inquire once put on notice that the claims might be going away and might affect their settlement?
I have no evidence of that, Your Honor. And in fact, I think it's reasonable to assume that since my client had been encouraging the COA to resolve its express warranty claims with Starline, that it's reasonable to assume my client thought that those were the claims that were resolved based upon their settlement in early July. With regards to the UCC, whether or not it applies, Starline concedes in its responsive pleadings that anything after August 31st, 2005 would have still been available even after the statute of limitations, because the UCC statute of limitations is 4 years rather than contractual 6 years. despite that, the court still ruled to bar all of the claims based upon, in part, the UCC statute of limitations. And this court should reverse, at least with the determination that the claims for any of the damage resulting after August 31st, 2005 still survive. There's some discussion as to whether or not the UCC even applies. Obviously, UCC applies only for goods rather than services. Council has suggested that the Tacoma Athletic Club case is on point. It's distinguishable for the following reasons. In Tacoma Athletic Club, the club was sold by Comfort Systems, a unit, a dehumidification unit. It was not something that Comfort Systems built, designed, or created. It was simply a product that they sold to Tacoma Athletic Club. Included in the system, according to the Tacoma Athletic Club case, were also the labor to install it. This case is distinguishable because the windows supplied were designed and built by Starline. This is not simply Starline running down to Home Depot and picking out windows they think will work well for this case. They actually built the windows specifically for this case. Additionally, the court ignored the fact that after the windows were installed, Starline returned to the scene to repair, change, alter, and amend, and provided those services to the project. And again, even if those are barred prior to August 31st, 2005, they most certainly are not subsequent to August 31st, 2005. And those claims should have survived summary judgment at the very least. With that, I'd ask you to reverse and remand for further determination as to the correct measure of damages to LEDCOR. Thank you.
Thank you, Council. You have 3 minutes on the vote.
And may it please the court, Ken Cusack for Starline Windows. Let me address the arguments raised by LEDCOR in its briefing and in its argument today. First, regarding the settlements we're talking about, I think it's important to remember that at the time Starline settled with the association and at the time LEDCOR settled with the association, LEDCOR had asserted no claims against Starline. In fact, it had disavowed any claims. It had told the association, we're not pursuing claims against Starline. You have all these claims, product liability claims, UCC claims, warranty claims. You need to amend your complaint, which the association did. In like manner, LEDCOR told Starline, these window claims are your problem. You take care of it. You get a issue release. You settle it. You defend it. You deal with it. Starline did that. It was only after Starline settled with the association and after LEDCOR settled with the association that LEDCOR filed an amendment to the complaint against the other subcontractors joining Starline.
So are you asserting the notice of settlement was from the association and not from Starline?
The notice of settlement was from the association filed with the court 30 days before LEDCOR settled with the association. I think Your Honor brought up a good question, and that is, once LEDCOR received notice that the association had settled its claims with Starline, at a time when LEDCOR had no claims pending against Starline, what did LEDCOR do with that information before they went to mediation and settled with the association themselves? Did they conduct any formal discovery with Starline or with the association or anyone else about what exactly did you settle for? What kind of release did you get? The record is devoid of anything LEDCOR did to find out what was settled and what do we have left against us. In fact, LEDCOR's own evidence doesn't address the point. Mr. LaFaro's declaration doesn't say that they didn't know about the settlement with Starline and the association. Doesn't say that they were unaware of the terms of the settlement. Doesn't say that we inquired and were told false things about the settlement. Says nothing. They knew about the settlement and settle with the association on their own.
But what's the value of that point if the settlement hadn't been actually formalized at that point and it was confidential, which presumably no one said otherwise, wouldn't have been disclosed to them in detail in any event?
Well, 2 points. One,
I haven't read the confidentiality agreement, but both parties have asserted it was confidential.
So. Yes. 2 points. One, the settlement agreement was actually executed almost 2 weeks before LendCorp settled with the association. So it wasn't after the fact. It was executed beforehand. Secondly, as to the confidentiality, there is nothing in the record where LendCorp attempted to find out at least what kind of release was given.
My point is only you said he didn't assert he knew anything about the content, but if it was confidential, why would he have known the content? So.
Well, I think the point.
My earlier point was, did they ask? Did they have a duty to ask? That was all.
Right. And I would say they did. And the fact that LendCorp was unconcerned about that issue before they settled with the association at a time when there was no claim by LendCorp against Starline and at a time when they disavowed any claims against Starline speaks to, I think, LendCorp's attitude and intent at the time they settled. It was only after they settled with the association that they decided to sue Starline based upon something else not in the record, based upon an argument that part of their settlement with the association was for Starline's defective products as opposed to incorrect installation of the Starline's windows by someone else. Now, there's nothing in the record, nothing in LendCorp's settlement agreement that apportions any amount of its payment to address Starline's allegedly defective windows. Excuse me. And one would think that if Starline, if LendCorp, with knowledge of Starline's earlier settlement with the association, was about to settle with the association itself, if it was going to be paying for damages allegedly caused by Starline's bad windows, they would put that, something like that in their settlement agreement if they plan on turning around and suing Starline for reimbursement. That wasn't done. There's nothing in the record indicating that LendCorp paid any amount to the association for Starline's alleged defective windows.
And in the absence of such information, I assume you're taking the position there can be no subrogation claim, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Let me ask you a different question. Time is short. You cited Bordack Brothers in your briefing.
Yes, sir.
Why did you do that?
That was just to remind the court that this issue of indemnity had been before this court before and decided before, and LendCorp seemed to be trying to re-argue their claim for indemnity.
And is that case, Bordack Brothers, the same as this case?
Same parties, different label, but yeah, that's the subcontractor lawsuit that Starline was joined to, and Starline's summary judgment motion for dismissal of indemnity claims was part of that, and this court affirmed the trial court's dismissal of the indemnity claims, and made the comment as stated in the brief that LendCorp has apparently waived its argument as to Starline's indemnity dismissal.
The purpose of my question is this. The law of the case doctrine, as I indicated to your opponent, bars relitigation of the same or similar issues. And I'm just wondering if it's your position here that the law of the case doctrine bars these claims here that are being asserted.
It bars LendCorp's indemnity claims.
Okay. Are there any other claims other than indemnity?
Well,
that are at issue in this appeal?
I think from LendCorp's briefing they are asserting breach of contract claims, and they are asserting subrogation claims and equitable contribution, all of which are addressed in the briefing, but they are asserting other claims.
Okay, but with respect to the indemnity claims, it's your position that that's already decided by virtue of the prior decision?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you.
Regarding the amount of the settlement, which LEDCOR takes some objection to, their allegation is that the amount of the settlement between Starline and the association was inadequate for anything other than an express warranty release. A couple things to say about that. Number one, consistent with LEDCOR's argument, which is incorrect, they continue to argue that the association only alleged express warranty claims against Starline. Clearly not the case. The complaint shows otherwise. LEDCOR's own exhortations to the association showed otherwise. There were UCC claims and WPLA claims, warranty claims expressed and implied. All of those were asserted by the association against Starline in its amended complaint. All those were settled and released. As to the amount was sufficient for the association. LEDCOR's argument that the $165 was insufficient is based upon another argument unsupported by the record, that the real damage number for Starline's windows was like $3 million. But that number is not even supported, as the record shows, as the underlying summary judgment motion show. That number is not even supported by the association's own expert, who is now LEDCOR's expert, Mr. Murphy. Mr. Murphy acknowledged that, as cited in the briefing, that the $3 million number was for removal of siding, reinstalling windows, and replacing windows. The bulk of that was for removing siding to repair defects in the siding installation and to repair defects in the installation of the windows, none of which is Starline's responsibility. Sorry. Thank you.
Going in reverse order there, all of the issues the council brings up with regards to the amount of the $3 million are issues of weight and sufficiency of the evidence. They actually bolster LEDCOR's argument that there are reasonable questions of fact with regards to what the amount of the settlement was. And so those are not necessarily dispositive of the fact that the number was sufficient, the $165,000. And in fact, Starline in its own briefing said that the replacement costs could be as much as $385,000. The Bordack indemnity clause, sorry, I misunderstood, Your Honor, earlier. The Bordack case references just LEDCOR's indemnity claims against Starline and not the breach of contract claims, the warranty claims.
So you concede that with respect to this appeal, you're going nowhere with respect to any indemnity claims, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. What about the point previously made that no money was paid by LEDCOR with respect to the window company's claims, and therefore there can be no subrogation with respect to that?
That particular claim is not based upon, it's based upon an absence of evidence in the record. The amount of money settled between LEDCOR and the Condominium Association is silent as to what that money constitutes, whether it's a dollar for this subcontractor's work or that subcontractor's work. It's simply silent. To suggest that there's an intentional omission, that's not in the record anywhere. So the argument from LEDCOR's perspective is that those claims are still subject to debate freely within the court and are questions of material fact as to what the $4.7 million settlement entailed. To the suggestion that LEDCOR was somehow incurious about the notice of settlement that it received, it was a confidential settlement. That is in the clerk's papers. There's a copy of the confidential settlement agreement in the record. LEDCOR had been encouraging up until...
But you were in litigation with the association.
Yes.
I mean, you weren't with Starline.
No.
You certainly could have inquired of the association how they were apportioning their claim. Or insisted at that point that if you're settling with Starline, everything's off the table with Starline, couldn't you?
Certainly could have, Your Honor, and I don't want to retrospectively go back to what a different law firm was doing at the time. I don't know why they chose to do what they did. But there is nothing on the record to suggest that they called Admiral and asked what was that settlement all about. So at this point, what we have is a fully executed settlement agreement that is confidential in nature, signed 11 days before the global settlement. And I think that those raise questions of material fact as to what was settled specifically. Lightcore had been encouraging the Admiral, COA, and Starline to seek resolution of their express warranties. And simply because they alleged more causes of action, that doesn't mean they settled all of them. Causes of action disappear all the time for reasons other than settlement. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next matter, Anderson